All right, well, let's look at our text, amen. And we're looking at 2 Samuel 18, and we'll start off at verse 10. And I'm just going to read a little bit, and then we'll get off into this word. The Bible says, "And a certain man saw it and told Joab, and said, 'Behold, I saw Absalom hanged in an oak.' And Joab said unto the man that told him, 'And behold, thou sawest him. Why didst not thou smite him there to the ground? And I would have given thee 10 shekels of silver and a girdle.' And the man said unto Joab, 'Though I should receive 1,000 shekels of silver in my hand, yet I would not put forth my hand against the king's son. For in our hearing, the king charged thee and Abisha and Ittai, saying, Beware that none touch the young man Absalom. Otherwise, I should have wrought falsehood against mine own life. For there is no matter hid from the king, and thou thyself wouldest have set thyself against me.' Then said Joab, 'I may not tarry thus with thee.' And he took 3 darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. And 10 young men that bare Joab's armor compassed about and smote Absalom and slew him. And Joab blew the trumpet, and the people returned from pursuing after Israel, for Joab held back the people." Ooh, that Bible good. That Bible good. Father, we thank you for your word. Bless it as we talk about it. In Jesus' name, amen. Saints of God, we've been studying 2 Samuel. You know how we do at Philly, line by line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, just going from one verse to the next, amen. And we find ourselves in 2 Samuel 18 discussing the civil war that has taken place between David and his own son, Absalom. And David is pretty much totally responsible for this because of his sin against the Lord with Bathsheba and in the matter of Uriah. And what we're seeing right here is actually the judgment of God just coming in, hallelujah, to manifestation, because what's happening now is exactly what God told David he would do because of David's sin, right? We saw the two armies come together. David organized his troops and put them in the hands of Ittai and Abisha and Joab. We watch, amen, as David said he wanted to go and fight as well, but his men said, "Thou shalt not go, because David, you are worth 10,000 to us, and if you fall, you'll quench the light of Israel." They also told David, amen, "You can secure and help us from the city." You see, we talked about, amen, that David humbled himself. He was able to hear from his inferiors, and David could hear the voice of God even from under him, positionally and authoritatively. And David told his men, he said, "What seemeth you best, that I will do." We saw the king, even though he couldn't go to battle, he gave a charge before the army left. He told him, "Listen, deal gently with the lad, with the boy, with Absalom, for my sake. He's my son." Right? We saw the two armies come together in battle. And David had a choice to make. He said, "Listen, I can meet him, hallelujah, in siege warfare as they kind of come in, and I'll wait for him in Mahanaim. Or I can go out into the field and fight him." And David picked a place, which was our first point last time, called the Wood of Ephraim. And in that place, it was a dense forest. It was almost like the Vietnam jungles. And it favored a smaller force, a force like David. Instead of fighting Absalom's large force, he could do as though it were, amen, hallelujah, a certain type of warfare where he would attack and then back up, attack and then back up off the larger army. Amen. Anybody remember what that type of warfare was called? Guerrilla warfare, that's right. And that's what David and Joab, that's what they did, huh? And David put, hallelujah, to flight the armies of Absalom. Secondly, we looked at Absalom. He came in there riding a mule, knowing the promise of God that the King of Kings would come in riding upon a mule, and he think he's all that. He's not even a king. He comes in there with his hair blown out, amen, and he rides under there with that big Hebrew hair blown out, that afro. And that afro grab hold to oak tree. and wouldn't let go. It grabbed so hard, hallelujah, to that oak tree that the mule kept going, but his head kept holding. And Absalom found himself hanging from a tree. Right? The Bible tells us he was stuck between heaven and earth. Earth didn't want him no more, and heaven wouldn't take him. And he was just hanging there. Nobody knows how long, but we know that God is so merciful. God has given Absalom time to repent. And we're about to see the stopwatch go off. It's judgment time. You see? So we have 3 points, amen, coming out of this, these few verses. Number one, a certain man. Number two, 10 shekels. And number three, the king charged thee. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't think we're going to get through them all, but we're just going to go until it's time to stop, and then we'll chill, all right? let's look at our first point, a certain man. Somebody say a certain man. Comes out of verse 10. And a certain man saw it and told Joab and said, "Behold, I saw Absalom hanged in an oak." I love what the Bible says here. It says a certain man. This means as though it's a random man, any man in David's army. In fact, he's an unknown man. They don't even know his name, money. They don't even know his name. He's just a regular, ordinary man that's in the army. He has no rank, no title, no special skills, amen. He's just a regular man, a certain man, a random man, an unspecified man, all right? We don't know anything about him. And that man was the man that stumbled upon Absalom hanging in that tree. It's almost like the Bible is trying to tell us that it happened by chance. Huh? By happenstance. It happened haphazardly. Like the man was just kind of walking through, hallelujah, doing his thing, and he look up and he sees the strangest thing. Absalom, the supposed king, hanging from a tree. And the Bible tells us, amen, that he saw it.
That fall.
That he saw it. Every blade of grass that's cut down. Every ant that moves or that stepped upon, amen. God sovereignly, meticulously rules his creation. He is not the unmoved mover of Aristotle that started things and just backed up and he don't know what's going on. God not like an old man, amen, that, hallelujah, he don't even know what's going on in his whole house. Nah, God knows everything. Bible says he even knows your hairs that's on your head, right? He's sovereign. Somebody say sovereign. That's the type of God we serve, you see? And I want to tell you that God knew right where Absalom was, huh? And he knew how long he was going to leave Absalom up there. And he knew who was going to find Absalom. Nothing is arbitrary. In my mind, amen, I said, man, you know, Braylon, Absalom could have stayed in that tree for the duration of the whole battle. You know that? A fight could have went on. He could have just stayed in that tree. You say, well, how you know that? Well, the way our God is, if God don't want people to see you, they're not going to see you. They're not going to see you. You see, when God is in relationship with you, there's something in the Bible where the Bible says that God has the ability to hide you. God, he can hide you. He can hide you. And it don't matter where you are. God can hide you in this place. Meaning like it's in here and it's packed, amen, but you come in, hallelujah, unnoticed. The Bible says there were some times when the crowd was just right about to kill Jesus, amen. When it wasn't his time yet, he would just walk through the crowd. Unnoticed, it wasn't his time. God has a way of hiding his people. You see? Anybody hear me up in here? All right? And the time you want the Lord to hide you is in times of trouble. Huh? This is what Absalom needed. This is what he needed. If he would have repented and got with God and said, God, I know I'm hanging in this tree. And I know that, listen, hallelujah, people should be able to see me, but oh my God. If you will just hide me, just forgive me and hide me. You see? The Bible tells us in Psalm 27:5, it says, for in the time of trouble, he shall do what? He shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Listen to me, there's times in your life where you need God to hide you. Huh? You know, in our nation, we're coming upon some dangerous times. And listen, anything can break loose at any time. Our prayer as a people, and your prayer for your family and even individually, Lord, if it collapse, if it go to hell in a handbasket, God, I know what most people going to get. But Daddy, if you would just hide me, if you would just hide me, if you would hide me, if you would do like you did Moses when you passed by and you put him in the cleft of the rock, if you would just hide me, not just in our nation, but you know, sometimes layoffs happen on the job. And they firing everybody, huh? Ain't nobody left with a job. But I'm trying to tell you, amen, if you in relationship with God, if you in covenant with your God, listen, 1,000 might fall at this side and 10,000 by another, but it shall not come nigh thee. How in the world could it happen, Noel? How could it happen? Huh? It happens when he hides you. Huh? They looking down the list of who they can't have. Hallelujah. Who they can't. Listen, we just can't. We got to fire these people. Huh? When they looking down the list, hey, he hides you. No, we're going to keep him. Huh? We're going to keep him. We're going to keep her. Somebody say, Lord, hide me. When sickness breaks out. When plagues and disease jump out. Epidemics and pandemics. Huh? It's happened before. People getting sick all around you. You say, God, please, God, hide me. Huh? On judgment day. When the Lord come through and take life. When he do like he did in Egypt the first time. You see, the Bible tells us that when he came through Egypt, he told him, he said, listen, take the blood of a lamb. Come on. And put it on your doorpost. And when I see the blood, I'm going to keep on going. You see, the blood hid them from the judgment of God. Anybody hear me up in here? Here's a word for you. You want to be hid on judgment day? You better get yourself under the blood of Jesus. Amen. You better get saved. You better admit to God you're a sinner. You better believe in his death, burial, resurrection. Somebody say, Lord, hide me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Brother Kev, that's why I love that Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And that thing is written in a Hebraic expression, amen, that allows us to visualize, amen, a mother bird, amen, putting her wings over her chicks in times of danger. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. When danger comes, we got to ask the Lord, please, God, won't you hide me? All right? That's what Absalom needed, y'all. But he didn't get it. Because if your ways are not pleasing to God, if you're not in covenant relationship with God, if you never had an opportunity to make peace with your God, the very opposite is going to happen to you. Every single time danger comes, it's going to find you. Yeah. Hallelujah. Every time trouble come, amen, it'll know right where you're at. Amen. Every time, amen, judgment passes by, amen, hallelujah, it'll be like a hound dog on a trail of a rabbit. It's going to track you down and get you. You see, when you're in covenant relationship with God, surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. But when you're not in covenant, it's not goodness and mercy, but it's the opposite. It's judgment, it's strife, it's contention, it's chaos, it's toil, and it's problems. You know? That's Absalom, man. That's Absalom. He's hanging in that tree. If he was in right relationship, he could have been unnoticed. But he wasn't in right relationship, you see? God can refuse to hide us and make us meet up with our fate. You see, hanging in a tree, hanging in a tree. Hallelujah. The Bible says a certain man, going back to our text, a certain man saw it. He saw Absalom. Hallelujah. Samuel, go back to 2 Samuel. A certain man saw it. He saw Absalom in the tree. And what did he do? He told Joab. He told Joab. Now, Miss Amisha, of all the people he could have told, who did he tell? Oh, my goodness. Come on, Sabrina. He could have told Abisha. He could have told Ittai. He could have told anybody else. But who did God sovereignly choose him to tell? Joab. Woo. Pabo. If this man would have told anybody else, I have my notes, Absalom would have survived the battle. Any other general or soldier would have taken him captive, brought him in as a POW, a prisoner of war, and brought him back to his father, David, beaten, huh? Defeated, huh? But his life would have been spared, right? But when he told Joab, it was over. Joab was like, you saw who? Doing what? Where? Take me to him right now. Take me to him right now. This is how Joab rolled. All right? I got something for him. This tells me, y'all, when I read this, John and Britt, this tells me that God wanted Absalom dead. Oh, did Pastor just say that? Yeah. This ain't one of these Laodicean churches. This ain't one of these God only do everything that's good and right. That's everything. No, he do always do is right. And he always do is good. All right? But it don't mean God don't judge. All right? In these churches, hallelujah, make it seem like God will never hurt you. God will put the pain on you, man. All right? God will break you off something. You understand what I'm saying? All right? We're not one of them churches. All right? We read our Bible. And the God we serve is the God of the Bible. All right? And that God, amen, has a time for every man and every woman to die. That God. That God in 1 Samuel 2:6, this is what it says about him. 1 Samuel 2:6, Sambut. The Bible says about our God. This God that we talk about, this God of the Bible, hallelujah, it says the Lord kill it, hallelujah, and make alive. He bring it down to the grave and he bring it up. You see, and I wanted him to see it, Sambu, because I don't want nobody trying to say that I'm making up a God. No, they made up a God. They made up a God. Oh, no, God would never hurt nobody. No, 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 friends. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. You don't know your Bible. You don't know about the flood. You don't know about Sodom and Gomorrah. You don't know, amen, hallelujah, about him dealing with Korah. You don't know about him, amen, dealing in the book of Revelation. The God of the Bible say, the Lord kill it and make it alive. Come on, give God some glory, amen. All right? Listen to me good. The Lord wanted Absalom dead. That's what I see. All right? He put him on a mule, had his head get caught in a tree. Made a certain man by happenstance, as it would appear, see him. And the first person that this man tell is who? Joab. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The writing is on the wall. The writing is on the wall. God was done with Absalom. But you see, we shouldn't even have to go that far to know that God was done with Absalom. The Bible say, cursed be everyone that hangeth from a tree. Anytime you see somebody hanging from a tree, it means that God done cursed them. Hmm? Kind of make you think of your own people, huh? In Deuteronomy, huh? Under the curse. Huh? So Absalom, amen, he's cursed by God. He's hanging from a tree. And the problem is he never turns, Brian. It's one thing to be cursed and turn. All right? But it's another thing to be cursed and to stubbornly remain in that cursed location and never turn to be blessed. I wonder who I'm talking about in here. Huh? You under the judgment of God. You just like Abraham. You just like you just like Absalom tonight. Hanging in a tree. Huh? Uncomfortable. Stuck. Huh? Between heaven and earth. Lukewarm. Can't even decide who you're going to serve. Huh? You want to serve heaven, but you love earth too much. You're stuck in the middle, like Michael Jackson said. Too high to get over, too low to go get under. Hey. All right. Curse. Huh? Choose Christ tonight. Choose the blessing tonight. Choose repentance tonight. You see, what Absalom didn't know is that 2,000 years later, somebody else would be hanged in a tree for him. Woo! And all he had to do was believe. Believe in a Messiah that would come. They look forward to the Messiah. We look backward to him. But it's still the same fate when you look to the Messiah. When you look upon the one that was cursed on the tree, he takes the curse off of you and he, hallelujah, receives the curse for himself. Huh? How many people want Jesus to take the curse for them? Woo! He was cursed for us, Galatians says. Huh? That we might receive the adoptions of sons and the blessings of Abraham. You see? Yes. In my heart, God was done with Absalom. What you saying, Pastor? You see, after God gave him some space for grace, it was judgment time. See, God had had enough with Absalom, and Absalom had ran his course. He finished his race. He had accomplished what he was supposed to accomplish, amen, and it was judgment time. You say, I thought God was slow to anger. Yes, God is slow to anger. God is very patient, but it don't mean his patience is going to last forever. He tells us in the epistle of Peter, he says, listen, don't count God's, amen, his patience for slackness. Huh? Oh, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. Listen now. Listen now. Even with the whole world, hallelujah, God, he will wait. He's long-suffering, but don't count that for slackness. He's just not willing that any should perish. But that all should come to repentance. But don't get me wrong now. There's a date set. And there's a time set. So Absalom is in the tree, Kev, and God is waiting on him to repent. But God done put a timer on it. He put a timer on it. It's like a woman of God setting a timer on her oven. Huh? And God put a timer on it. And Absalom had an opportunity to repent while he was in that tree as long as the timer was undone. It was like God had an hourglass on them. And you say, man, God put an hourglass on Absalom. He got an hourglass on you too. If you're here and you're not saved, recognize that God is just not going to keep waking you up every morning like that, feeding you every day like that, allowing you to breathe his crisp air every day like that. There's some sand in the hourglass for you. And you don't know the day or the hour when the last grain of sand gonna come out in that hourglass. Absalom's sitting up in there like he got forever. You don't have forever. That's why the Bible says today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart like in the day of provocation in the wilderness. You know how many people I done preached to that I hear or read in the newspaper that the very day after they was in church, the Lord took them. And that's the sovereign hand of God. I believe that we are a church that preach the gospel. And just imagine God up there saying, I know tomorrow this one is going to be checked out of the land of the living. Where can I send them for one more shot? So they stumble into Philadelphia. You understand what I'm saying? And hear that old gospel. Huh? And they hear that thing, and hopefully the Lord be here, hallelujah, and he speak through me, amen, or if it's one of the brothers, amen, they're going to preach the gospel. But it's their last chance. I wonder who in here tonight. Tonight. Tonight, y'all. The time about to go off. The grain's about to run out. It can all change tonight because, listen, if you repent and if you come to Christ, let me tell you, he might give you 15, 20 more years. Amen. Listen, I'm telling you, he can hide you from trouble. But he gets to a place where he tired. That's where he was with Absalom. Right? That's where he was with Absalom. It was judgment time. Right? Now, God is about to use Joab to take Absalom's life. Now watch this now. What Joab is about to do is wrong and is sin. But I'm about to explain to you something about the sovereignty of God. That as God rules his creation, he even uses sinful, wicked men to fulfill his purposes and his plan. Oh, come on, somebody. You got to work with me here. It's like a good cook. You just don't use sweet or salty. You just don't use this, you use that. In fact, you blend a plethora of different herbs and spices and them all working together. They're not good, but them all working together ends out, turning out to be good. That's what God do in the economy of his creation. You see? So when they don't understand his sovereignty, they see bad things happen and they blame it on the devil. But what they don't know is that God's permissive will allows evil sometimes. His permissive will allow evil because he's about to work a greater purpose. You see? It's like a judo wrestler or jiu-jitsu. Or just a regular wrestler, John, like we used to do at Northside or at Moss. A good wrestler or a good, amen, person who's skilled in jiu-jitsu or judo, amen, you know that you might not be stronger than everybody. And so one of the things you do, you use your opponent's weight against themselves. You get them off balance and they swing and they already done put all of their strength and energy. You just move a little bit and their own strength and force and inertia allow them to keep going and you done flip them over. This is what God do with wicked people. He uses their own wickedness against them. It's a spiritual jiu-jitsu that he do. He's a master. He's a master, right? His omniscience is amazing. I'm going to show you something here. What we learn about? We learn about the sovereignty. Somebody say sovereignty. Yeah, that's what we learn about. The sovereignty of God, all right? Yes, Joab should not have killed Absalom. He was not supposed to kill Absalom. But God will allow it to fulfill his will concerning Absalom. Break it down, Pastor. Judas should not have betrayed Jesus. It was sin for him to do so. All right? And it was wrong for him to do so. But God in his sovereignty would use the wickedness and the sinfulness of Judas to put Jesus right where Jesus was supposed to be. Anybody hearing me up in here? That's how amazing God is. When you think you're defeating God, you only helping his purpose. That's why the Bible says there's no might or counsel against him. Because right when you think you got him, he got you. You understand what I'm saying? Listen to me. This is all throughout the Bible. Amen. Brent, I need you to find a scripture for me while we kind of do this a little bit. I want you to find 1 Corinthians 2 and 8 and just find it and just leave it blank. But we're going to get to it here in a second. Amen. Hallelujah. But it's all over the Bible. No, God is not the author of sin. He never gets people to sin. But when they sin, he still can work his will and his good and his perfect work out of the sins of men. All right? This is known as the mystery of iniquity. The mystery of iniquity. And listen, you don't know, no. This thing go back to the garden. This thing go back to the garden. Go back to the garden. Oh, yeah. The sovereignty of God. You don't think he knew the serpent was in there? You don't think he could have stopped the serpent? You don't think he could have prepared or told Adam and Eve, listen, or just some kind of way, just, amen, don't even put the tree of good knowledge in there. I got a plan. And I'm going to use their sinfulness to reveal the fullness of my glory. I'm going to use it. He's saying, Pastor, what you mean? Listen here. If the devil wouldn't have got mankind to fall, we would have never saw God descend and die on the cross for our sins. We would have known nothing about his grace, his mercy. Sure, we would have known he was a great creator. He was an awesome God. He's all powerful. We would have known the tough side of God, but not the love and the grace and the mercy and the forbearance. So the devil fighting God, trying to destroy God, trying to make God look bad, only ended up making our God look better than he ever looked before. Anybody hear me up in here? Because greater love had no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. You can't mess with God. He'll use your own weight against you. A spiritual jujitsu. He's a master. You see? Oh, yeah. Listen to me good. Yes. So God allows wickedness and turns it into good. That scripture, amen, in 1 Corinthians 2:8 tells us a little something about that, because God is continually turning Satan's attacks into his glory. All right? John Piper says, not even Satan fails to perform all of God's holy purposes. We're just talking about how sinful men, when they do their worst, God still turn it out to fulfill his purpose. You see? As we look at 1 Corinthians 2:8. Y'all have that up there? 1 Corinthians 2:8. The Bible tells us, amen, about Satan. And how God used Satan's own wickedness. You see, Satan, hallelujah, hates God. And God knows that. All right? And God knew that. If he would send his only begotten son, he knew what Satan would do to him. All right? 1 Corinthians 2:8, Sambu. Hallelujah. Now, he knew that Satan would not be able to restrain himself from destroying the only begotten son of God. He knew that. All right? So what he did, he sent him anyway. And he permitted Satan to test him, to tempt him, to blaspheme him, and to ultimately have his way with the only begotten Son of God. Huh? Put him on that cross and kill him. But what Satan didn't know was by killing the only begotten Son, our Messiah, he was actually fulfilling God's will. Oh, God, he was... Are you seeing what I'm saying? Do you see the judo? He was actually fulfilling God's will. Why? Because he was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. God always wanted him to die on behalf of our sins. Satan just did it for him. You know? And God said, I mean, it's amazing. He's the ultimate chess player. He's a master. You know? If the princes of this world knew, you know what I'm saying, that killing Christ would have been to the salvation of our souls, for had they known it, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. He played a Montgomery. Huh? What are we talking about? God's what? God's sovereignty. Y'all still up out there? Come on, give God some glory. Amen. I'm teaching you something about him, the depths of his wisdom. All right? The depths of his wisdom. All right? The cross, amen. The world looks at the cross as foolishness. But the cross is the wisest thing that ever happened on the face of the earth. The wisest thing. You know? What I'm trying to say is that God oftentimes uses the wicked as his instruments. All right? He uses the wicked. He wanted Absalom dead and he needed somebody to do it. Amen. He didn't have to look hard. Joab was going to do it. All right? And Joab wasn't going to do it out of obedience or out of love for God. He was going to do it in sin. You see? And God would allow him to do it. Psalm 17:13. Arise, O Lord. Disappoint him. Cast him down. Deliver my soul from, watch this part, the wicked, which is thy sword. Did you catch that? That God uses wicked people for his sword, for his instrument at times. What are you saying? Remember Pharaoh in Egypt? God wanted to make a nation. Huh? God wanted to make a people through the fires of affliction. Huh? He told Pharaoh, I raise you up for this purpose. You're going to help me make this people, and you're not only going to help me make this people, but when I come down and judge you, I'm going to get my glory on. Because when they see me do you that, they're going to say, oh, you really a God. For this purpose were you raised up. All right, I'm going to use your wickedness, your hard-hearted stubbornness, and your refusal to believe in me, to glorify me, to write a book about my name, Exodus, that they still talking about 2,000 years later. You see how wise he is? And we got little puny humans lifting up their fists like they want to fight God. Boy, you're not ready to fight God, bro. God will take your best efforts and get a million people saved off of your insolence against God. You see? Or using even Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. Or using Sennacherib in Assyria. All are instruments of the Lord, whether they know it or not. Listen to me good. This would lead some people to say, well, if God going to use me, whether I do good or whether I do evil, I might as well do evil. Don't you be deceived in here tonight. Come on. Because let me tell you something else about his ways. It's hard for me to even speak it, Parker. Man, listen to me. All right. God want to get to be. He know that you wicked enough to help him get there. He going to allow you, Judas, in your wickedness to steal from him, to set him up. Your covetousness put you in the spot to betray him for 30 pieces of silver. He used your wickedness for his glory. Crucifixion, burial, resurrection. Right? But after he used your wickedness, because you sinned against him in wickedness, he going to come back. After he get his glory on, he going to double back and punish you for what you did. Did you catch that? All right. Judas, this is something else, Brother Isaac. Judas sinned against him, and God still got the glory. But he come back around to Judas. Put that conviction and condemnation on Judas. I've sinned against innocent blood. Put that rope around his neck, hung himself. Body bust open. Ended up in hell. Pastor, how you can say Judas ended up in hell? They called him the son of perdition from the start. Yeah. Before he sold Jesus out, Jesus said, I have not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil. Oh! Like God knew beforehand what he had in him, what he was going to do, allow him to do it, and then come back and punish him for it. So for you that's out there saying, man, I'm just going to do evil, God going to get his will anyway. Don't you play with God like that. Don't you play with God like that. Though he using Satan, amen, he using Satan. I'm talking about, we giving Satan all kind of glory. God is using Satan like a puppet master. The way I'm beyond the veil right now. I'm beyond the veil right now. Listen to me. He using Satan so much as a puppet, Joe. He using Satan to split the chaff and the wheat. To show who really God and who really not. Who really down and who really not. Who really love him and who really not. We up in here giving all kind of glory to Satan, and God is saying, it's happening just like I planned. He's dividing the light from the darkness. That's all he doing. That's all he doing. He going out, amen, and he's gathering all those that don't want God. It's his job. And God is permissively allowing that because when God takes us to heaven, he don't want no goats in heaven. Woo! My goodness, I'm telling you, Satan is just helping with the harvest. He's just helping with the harvest. But even though he is helping in his wickedness, God can't allow wickedness to go unpunished. He's a just God. And so Satan and every single person that go with him, will get their just deserts. I'm talking about sovereignty here. Talking about sovereignty. So don't you dare say, I'm just going to do evil so God can spin it around for good. You know, even David with Bathsheba, they had Solomon, so I'm going to go ahead and do evil so God. Yeah, David, yeah, he was blessed with Solomon out of his wickedness, but look how much trouble he being judged through, being dragged through the mud. Don't you ever sin lightly. Don't you ever walk on the road of iniquity as though it's not serious. He gonna turn it for good, but he gonna judge all the instruments of evil. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to me good. Amen. If you're here tonight, we talked about a lot of things, huh? But the most important thing we talked about was the cross of Calvary, huh? How all of us, because of our sins, are like Absalom, cursed. But we have an opportunity while we still have breath in our lungs to take that curse and transfer it to another. Our scapegoat, our sacrifice, our substitute, our atonement, our propitiation, Jesus Christ, is available. And it's available tonight. The problem is that if you don't know him, don't be like Absalom and wait till it's too late. Yeah. The hourglass is waning. If you're not saved tonight with a surety, the Bible says make your calling and election sure. We're going to pray tonight. And you're going to go to God and you're not going to think about who next to you or mama or daddy. You're not joining no church. Amen. We getting your soul right with God tonight. All right? All right? Don't you dare allow time to pass. You see? With you not getting this gospel. See, next time when we come around the third point, we're going to talk about how good God is. Now, he's never going to hurt us or judge us without giving us one of these opportunities, man. Before you go, he's going to make sure he puts you right where you're going to hear the right word. Just how good he is. And the Bible says he does that because in the last days, amen, when he judge all men, the Bible says they shall be all without excuse. No excuse. No excuse. Right? Right? I don't want to keep you long. We're going to pray in here tonight. We Talked about his sovereignty. Just know he is in control. In control. The good things, the bad things. The things that give you joy, and the things that bring you pain. But one thing is for certain. It's going to all work together for your good, saint. It's going to all work together. The doctrine of his sovereignty. Let's pray. Somebody say, Father God, thank you that you reign. Forgive me of doubting you and making you too small. You are the creator, the sustainer of all life. I admit I've sinned against you, and I'm sorry. But tonight, I want to get right with you. Tonight, I want to put my faith in Jesus Christ. Take the curse off of me. Take my sins off of me. And put it on the cross. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I believe he was buried in the grave. And I believe with all my heart that he rose on the third day. Lord, please save me, a sinner, and change my life. Make me over. Give me a new heart. And a new start. Fill me with your spirit. Show me my purpose. And use me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God some glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, we'll come back next Tuesday. Good Lord, spare life. Amen. I'm going to see what's going on. Amen. But we'll come back and we'll talk about Joab doing the deed. It's going to be important to look at what this certain man and his conversation with Joab, amen. Hallelujah. It's a good story, and it can teach us a lot about our God. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and bless you with shalom peace. Just know that God, he is in control. There's no accidents. Nothing is arbitrary, and he's going to work it all for your good. It's in Jesus' name we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Love y'all. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed.